Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation on South the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is July 27, 2014, or it is 8-1-2018, and we will start our first service on this new moon Sabbath with a song entitled, Yahshua is Tenderly Calling Me Home. Yahshua is tenderly calling me home. Calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Yahshua is calling. Tenderly calling today. Yahshua is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring him the burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today. Yahshua is calling, is tenderly calling today. Yahshua is waiting, oh come to him now. Waiting today, come with the sins at his feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Yahshua is calling, is tenderly calling today. Yahshua is pleading, oh lift to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise in the way. Calling today, calling today. Yahshua is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Look, the trumpet and the new moon, the time appointed. It says, on our solemn feast day, Psalms 81:3. Psalms 81. Sing aloud unto Elohim our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the Elohim of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the present harp of the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel and a law of the Elohim of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pot. Thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee. I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Yahweh thy Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Let's do that again. I am the Yahshua thy Savior, the son of Elohim, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken unto my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own harsh lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies, and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Yashur should have submitted themselves unto him, that their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Now this is Yashur talking. This is David talking in a place for Yashur. And he says that, that my people would have hearkened unto me, to my voice, and Israel would none of me. That includes all the way up to 2002. That's all of Israel, he says, from 1500 B.C. Through up to 2002 A.D. They would not hearken. They would not hearken unto him. The Seventh Day Adventists proved to be just like their forefathers. Rebellious right down to the very end. Okay. We have some news items going on in Israel that we're going to have to start paying attention to. This is taken from the Israel National News. Fatah declares war on Israel. The language of blood is the only way to answer Zionist aggression. Now these are your Palestinians talking. They're in the Gaza Strip. Okay, and so the Fatah group, they're in the Gaza Strip. The Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade of Judea and Samaria, the military wing of Fatah, PLO, headed by the Mohammed Abbas, who also serves as the president of the Palestine and head of the PLO, has declared open war against the Zionist enemy. In a recorded message from July the 23rd, that three armed terrorists from the Al-Aqsa Brigade announced that they would not sit idly by during the Israeli operation in the Gaza Strip and that they intend to bring the struggle deep into Israel territory. Okay, now I read earlier today where in Iraq they bombed and destroyed Jonah's tomb. They've also demolished a police station on top of the Temple Mount in Israel, Jerusalem, and they burned it and they just destroyed it. And the policeman, this showed a picture of one policeman that was on the scene at the time that they were doing all this. Now keep in mind, at the same time, the IDF, the army for Israel, is in Gaza. They're invading Gaza, and the terrorists are fleeing from before them. But back in Jerusalem, Netanyahu, I guess, apparently pulled all his police out of the way because there's rioting going on in Jerusalem. And Netanyahu and the Jerusalem news reporter are not reporting any of this stuff. The world news is not reporting any of what these Palestinians are doing. They're literally running amok in Jerusalem. So which causes us now to really want to read about Zechariah 14, because this is the beginning of Zechariah 14, I believe. And so I think at this point this would be worth reading. So let's do that. Let's read Zechariah 12 and go and lead on into 14. It says, the burden of the word of Yahweh for Israel, saith to Yahweh, which stretches forth the heaven, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of the trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Now, when it says in the siege against Judah, it means the Yahweh's government. It means the house of David. When you say siege against Judah, you're talking about siege against the house of David, the mountain of the house of the Yahweh established in the top of the mountain. Now, this is where Yahweh is going to sit his the city on, and his kingdom is going to be set up right there in that land, right upon that Temple Mount. And there's going to be his presence there with his son. Meanwhile, he's letting the leadership over there in Jerusalem run things, with Netanyahu in charge. And Netanyahu represents those Gentiles that are right now in charge of Jerusalem. All you got to do is look at Netanyahu, his clean-shaven face, to know that he's a Gentile and really not a Jew. Gentiles are kinfolks of the Jews, but I'm just telling you that the forces of the Gentiles right now are going to have to be raised up to go in and drive out the Gentiles. That's what the scriptures say. But here in Zechariah 12, it says, verse 2, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, and they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. And that day, says Yahweh, I will smite every horse with the astonishment, and his rider with madness, and I will open mine eyes upon the house of the Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of the Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of the Jerusalem shall be my strength, and the Yahshua of the host their Savior. And that day will I make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheath. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. Yahshua also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. And that day shall the Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as the David, and the house of the David shall be as the Elohim, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of the supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. So he's going to make the house of David, verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Okay. And he's going to make the house of David as the angel of Yahweh before the people. Okay, Zechariah 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. It shall come to pass in that day, says the Yahshua of the host, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when they shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of Yahweh. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesied. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, and neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. prophet. He shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man hath taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friend. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Now this prophecy is for the house of Gilead, and that sword was to be wakened against the angel of the candlestick there at Kermit. That was Brother Johnson. So when this prophecy is for the 12th and 11th and the 12th parabolic hour, the closing hour of the 11th and the beginning of the 12th. And it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, says the Yahshua. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Okay, but we know that that also applies when V.T. Hallett died in 1955. When he died, the sheep scattered. We know when Verlus came to his end in 2002, the sheep scattered. Roden in between V.T. Hallett and Verlus Johnson, whenever he died, the sheep did not scatter. It's only when V.T. Hallett died that they scattered, and when Verlus came to his end in 2002, 2003, they scattered there as well. And it came to pass that in all the land, saith the Yahweh, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Yahweh is my Elohim, or the Yahshua is my Savior. Zechariah 14, as well. So it says, Zechariah 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Yahweh cometh. We're going to put the Father there. And thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem's battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifle, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Yahshua go forth and fight against those nations. That's when he fought in the day of battle. This is actually the Yahshua that came down to do this. Okay. So it says, and his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half it toward the south. So I say, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel, yea. Ye shall flee like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Yahshua, my Savior, shall come, and all the saints with thee. This thee is the house of David with 144,000. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear in thy dark. Now why is it that Yahshua, it says in Zechariah 14 that he stands upon the Mount Zion with the Lamb, with 144,000, stands with the Lamb upon Mount Zion? Well, but here it's talking about in Zechariah 14:5. It says, and the Yahshua shall come, and all the saints with thee. Okay. So where is he bringing these saints from? He's bringing them from the United States, where they've been gathered. He's going to bring them to Israel. He's going to bring them with the house of David. No doubt 144,000 is going to be along with it. But it shall be one day which shall be known as the Yahweh, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. So it says, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. And the Yahshua shall be king over all the earth in that day. Shall there be one Savior or king, and his name one. All the land shall be turned as it plain from Geba unto Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place. From Benjamin's gate unto the place of their first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the top handle unto the king's wine press. Let's continue Zechariah 14:11. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Yerushalayim shall be safely inhabited, and there shall be the plague wherewith the Yahshua will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance, and so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule, of the camel and of the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Yahshua of hosts, and to keep the feast of tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Yahshua of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. If the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith Yahshua will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. And that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses, holiness unto the Yahweh, and the pots in the Yahshua's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in the Yerushalayim and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Yahshua of the host, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein, and in that day there shall be no more of the Canaanite in the house of the Yahshua of the host. We're going to continue the rest of our study now. We're going to take track 8, Mount Zion, at the 11th hour by the Vichy Hottos. We're on page 12. It's entitled, The One Great Kingdom. And we've got Israel now that is under the siege of the enemy over there, the Palestinians, and all the nations are just running as fast as they can around Jerusalem. Yahweh is also bringing forth his servant here, David, the antithetical David. And so we're going to learn something here, this Mount Zion at the 11th hour. And it says that, page 11, it says the terms Israel, Ephraim, and Joseph, going back for a moment in the historical approach unto our subject, we recall that after Solomon's death, the Israelite nation, the twelve tribes, were divided into two separate kingdoms. 1 Kings 11:11 and 12. And 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 19 and 27. The 10-tribe kingdom occupying the northern portion of the promised land was called Israel. Now, the ones that are occupying the northern portion of the promised land today is Syria, and you have Damascus, I'll be the capital of Syria. They're all in the northern part of Israel, the land of Israel, in the promised land. Okay? So it says, the 10-tribe kingdom occupying the northern portion of the promised land was called Israel, also Ephraim, and occasionally the house of Joseph. Israel, because its majority of the tribes, Ephraim, Isaiah 11:13, because his kings came from Ephraim, and Joseph, Ezekiel 37:16, because he was the father of Ephraim. But the 2-tribe kingdom occupying the southern portion was called Judah, because its kings were of the tribe of Judah, and therefore its descendants are called Jews. Actually, it's a short for Judah. The term Israel accordingly often applies only unto the ten tribes. So when henceforth in these pages, the reader comes upon the terms Judah, Israel, and Ephraim, Joseph, he will understand precisely who they are designating, and will thus, as we proceed, better understand Elohim's plan for the ingathering of the 12 tribes of Israel, and for the uniting them into one great kingdom. Now, this is what's going on in the land of Israel today. Yahweh is reclaiming his land through his people that are at hand to come, which will be the 144,000, and the house of David in charge of this 144,000. Okay, so the kingdom of heaven, said the Yahshua, is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Matthew 13:31-32. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living Elohim, Hosea 1:10. For the hearing Yahshua's teachings, then rejecting them and crucifying him, the Jewish nation brought upon their heads the doom which Elohim pronounced upon them, when through his prophet he declared, you are not my people, and I will not be your Elohim. Though at the same time, in his great mercy, he let the promise be written in the place where it was said unto them, ancient Israel, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ancient Israel, you are the sons of the living Elohim. See Romans 9:24-26. So happily, the same people, Israel and Judah, who were set aside and scattered, will in that day, our time, be reaccepted and gather together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come out of the land. Hosea 1:11. Having abode many days without a king, their lot from the days of their captivity in Babylon, even unto this very day, the children of Israel shall afterward, sometime in the future, says the scripture, return and seek the Yahweh their Elohim and David their king. I'm going to read that again. And seek the Yahshua their Savior and David their king, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 3:4-5. His goodness is the house of David. That's who they are going to be fearing. Just like they feared the house of Joseph down in Egypt, the governor of Egypt under Pharaoh. But as David, the king of ancient Israel, had been dead for many years when this prophecy was made, and as it has never been fulfilled, he was a type of the David to come. There it is, right there. Now, why is it that David has to come in these last days? Why? Well, we're going to learn why. Because Yahshua has to have a visible king. Because Yahshua is going to come back as the King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, and he's going to rule over all the world. But the people will not accept Yahshua coming in the clouds of glory with this white linen, a robe on, and a crown on his head. Because when he appears in the clouds of heaven, visible, with all his holy angels with him, it's only going to be when the saints have already been gathered and united into one place here on earth. They will accept him in that form. But the world is not going to accept him. These unsanctified people in the house of Israel are not going to accept him if he were to come that way to them. So he has to have a visible leader. That's a type of Yahshua. David is a type of Yahshua. What is a type of Yahshua? And so, David, you raise up a brother from the midst of the people, someone that's been with them, for many, many years, and they're familiar with him. They even know him personally. You raise somebody up like that, only the saints are going to accept this person. Those that are not with unsanctified hearts are not going to accept this person. So Yahshua knows that he has to remain invisible. And he remains invisible until all of the wicked are destroyed. And there's nothing but the righteous left, and then he appears unto them in the person. But as he takes the, like the 144,000, he stands on the Mount Zion of the Lamb. Only the righteous can stand with him. There'll be no wicked nowhere around that place when the Lamb stands on the Mount Zion with the 144,000. Okay? Because it says it's the sword of his mouth that destroys the wicked. Well, it's the sword of his mouth that through his underservant, his visible king, David, when he speaks the word, just like Elijah, he spoke the word and Yahweh honored it. Yahweh, the invisible king, Elijah, the visible one. And as soon as Elijah spoke the word, Yahweh honored it. He caused it to happen. The same thing with Moses. Same thing in David's day. Yahweh, the Holy Spirit spoke through David. David said, well, if that's all you need is one man to go fight with this uncircumcised Philistine, I'll go fight with him. Who does he think he is defying the armies of Israel? Well, I'm saying today, who do they think they are up there on the Temple Mount today in Israel, defying the armies of Israel? They're up there just, the priests are just running and hiding. And the Palestinians are just trashing the king of Palestine around the Temple Mount. And destroying the priest station. And they're just running and hiding. They're scared to death. And the leader, Netanyahu, is not saying a word about it. And none of those leaders in Israel are standing by and letting them do it. So Yahweh said it's time for antitypical David to arise. And so I'm telling Yahweh, I'm ready to arise. I'm ready just any time he wants to call me, put his spirit and power in me. Take me just like I am. Bring that flying saucer by here. I'm ready to get on board. I'll have no trouble walking in there and telling them. I had no trouble walking in those churches of the Adventists over the years. I had I didn't have any problem of walking right up to the presidents of the conferences. And to the main president, I even met the one before he became the number one overall president of the general conference, and gave him messages and talked to him. And I talked to anybody that I could get them to listen to me. And so I went among them. I wasn't afraid of them. I stood among them in the midst of their congregations and stood up in the middle of the congregation and rebuked them from their rostrums up there, from the pulpits. And I run one of them out of the pulpit at a camp meeting for selling books on the Sabbath day. And I went up there on the rostrum, got right next to him and told him what was going on. I knew who he was, what was going on, and he packed his books up and got out of there. And I followed him off the rostrum out to his car, running plumb out of the church. So I don't have any fear when it comes to approaching these Adventists. And when they're doing wrong, Yahweh is raising me up as a messenger to them. I'm going to deliver it. And I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Accordingly, it is those who fear the Yahweh and his goodness, the Christian Israelites in the latter days, our time, who shall appoint one head or king, the antitypical David. So, I'm the only one that has the many long years of experience with hands-on operation of just about every type dealing with the house of Israel and the police and the world. I've been in jail over this from the local police in a certain place in Colorado 1 year back in 1982. I stood in jail. And I know what it's like to go through all of that with all the opposers of the truth. So it says, for complete study of Hosea 1 and 2, read our track number 4, the latest news from Mother. That's exactly the track that he gave me yesterday to start on as soon as I got through with what I was doing with the White House recruiter, but I see now that I have to deal with this subject on the 8th track, Mount Zion, 11th hour, about this antitypical. David, from the latest breaking news over the airways, I have to bring this stuff up. From the clear cut facts in the preceding paragraphs, we see that the children of the Israel dispersed and without a king, and Israel don't have a visible king today over there in the land of Israel or right here in the United States in the Adventist Church. They don't have a visible king. Number one, the Adventist Church is no more. So it says that they're without a king of these many days, are to return not as the Jews but as the Christians. For this consolidation of the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, is set forth in the symbolism of the two joined sticks. So now we're about to join the two houses back together, the two great kingdoms back together now. And it's Elijah David that does this. He's a visible king. Yahshua is the invisible king. And the two working together represents one king over all the earth. Now do you understand where it says in that day Yahshua shall be king over all the earth? There in Zechariah 14, I believe that's what it says right there. I believe it says in Zechariah 14. But anyway, I know there's one place where it says he's in that day he's going to be king over all the earth. This is true. He is the number one king over all the earth because of his great sacrifice and his blood that we all have to have to be redeemed. All right. So it says, Judah and Israel is set forth in the symbolism of the two joined sticks. Thou son of man, says Yahshua, take thee one stick and ride upon it. For Judah and for the children of Israel, his companion. Then take another stick and ride upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companion. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Now what happens in the prophecy when this takes place in the last days? It's literally going to be a reuniting of the whole land of Israel in the promised land. When this prophecy meets its fulfillment here in Liberty Hill, Texas, with antitypical David showing where it's time for this prophecy to be fulfilled of the joining of these two great kingdoms together. So, when that happens, then the antitypical David will go to Jerusalem, and he'll be there with the 144,000. These will all be visible. Yahshua is going to be invisible. But they're going to know for certainty that this antitypical David is empowered just exactly the way the typical David was, with the power and authority from heaven to do whatever, carry out any commission that's given unto the house of David. We will not be lacking. It says, and when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua Messiah, behold, I will take the stick of the Joseph, which is in the hand of the Ephraim, and the tribes of the Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. Okay, and the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand. This thine hand is the antitypical David, before their eyes. So, he's going to be addressing the whole 12 tribes of Israel. And what's he going to be addressing them with? The Song of Moses and the Lamb. The Lamb because of the blood of the New Covenant that they have to be harvested by, redeemed by. Okay? And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes, and say unto them, thus saith the Yahshua Messiah. Now, I want to say something. When you see this writing and the spelling of the Lord God, when you see the big the capital L and then the small letters, that's talking about Yahshua the Son. And when you see God, G-O-D, with the The begin the big letter and the two small letters, that's talking about Yahshua, the Savior. But when you see them in all capitals, then it's talking about the Father. Now remember that. The translators knew that much about this. So when I see Lord God here, I automatically say, Yahshua, or the Messiah, or the Savior. Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king unto them all, and there shall be no more two nations. So right now, Jerusalem is under siege by these antipical Palestinians. They're in a warfare over there. In other words, we have a coalition of soldiers from the different nations that form the army for Israel called the IDF. And they are in there subduing the Palestinians in the Gaza, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean, which is southwest of Jerusalem. But you have the Palestinians overrunning the Temple Mount in the city. I was reading to you earlier about Zechariah 14, where it says that it says they're going to take over. It says, "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken." It says in verse 2, "And the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Okay, now that's happened. As of today, half of Jerusalem is taken. Whenever the Muslims took over the Temple Mount, it showed that East Jerusalem had taken charge of the city of Jerusalem, the whole city, the east and the west. But it says when that happens, in Zechariah 14, he said, "Then shall the Yahweh," it's all capital letters, but I'm going to say, "Then shall the Yahshua go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of the battle. And his feet shall stand today upon the Mount of Olives." So when Yahshua makes his appearance, it says his feet. Well, when it says his feet, it means his army. And his army is the house of David with 144,000. His feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives, so, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now I'm going to read to you in the scriptures where it talks about how beautiful are the feet of him. Now in Romans 10:15 it says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring a glad tidings of the good things." So you see right there, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach. These are his preachers, his gospel workers. This is his army, his visible army. So when it says that his feet shall stand at death on the Mount of Olives, it means that his army, the house of David, leads it. Because it says in Zechariah 14:14, "And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem." Okay. So Yahweh is fighting with the 12 tribes of Israel, and Judah and Benjamin are the two tribes of the south, joined with the 10 tribes of the north. And so they're going to fight at Jerusalem, and that's where the Muslims have concentrated themselves. The Palestinians, the antitypical Palestinians, they've concentrated themselves right there at the Temple Mount. And so they're showing themselves all over the land of Israel. Iraq, they just destroyed Jonah's tomb there in Iraq today. And Iraq is part of Israel's land, as all of that land is. Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Syria, all of that belongs to Lebanon. All that belongs to Israel. Okay, so that's what this battle of Zechariah 14 is all about. Returning all that land and driving out all of the inhabitants thereof that have squatted on that land and have encroached upon that land without any authority. So, how beautiful are the feet of them that bringeth you, that publisheth peace, it says right there in Romans 10:15. How shall the preach except they be sent? Okay, they've got to be sent first before they can preach. They've got to come to the judgment first before they can be sent. So what is that telling us? You got to come to the judgment before you be sent, and then you go and you preach the message that's given you to preach. And it says, as it is written. Where is it written at? I believe it's in Isaiah 52:7. Where it talks about how beautiful it is, Isaiah 52. We might turn to it and read it here. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, that Elham reigneth. So it says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him. Okay, the feet of him, of who? That him is Yahshua. And those feet are his army. Okay. Now let's go back to our reading here on Mount Zion at the 11th hour. We're getting along fairly well. It says that, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their Elohim, and David, my servant, shall be king over them. So he chose David anciently, the son of Jesse, and now he's choosing antitypical David again, the antitypical son of Jesse again. For my father would certainly have to play the role of antitypical Jesse as well. My servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Ezekiel 37:16-25. So, when I get ready to go to Israel, I'm gonna, hopefully, that will be the beginning of making a permanent residence there in Jerusalem. So to work from that point on, to go anywhere in the world, I have to go. But this illustrated prophecy scarcely needs to be interpreted, as it is virtually self-explanatory, showing that the two ancient kingdoms, Judah and Israel, will yet be gathered from among the heathen, among whom they have long been scattered, and that they will become again one great nation, a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, Daniel 2:44. Moreover, saith the Yahweh, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel, and my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Ezekiel 37:26-28. Since the Elohim says that he will multiply them when they again become a kingdom, and that the heathen shall know that I, the Yahweh, do sanctify Israel. Okay. And it says, and since he can, and now they multiply or sanctify after further probation, the two ancient kingdoms must necessarily then be restored and consolidated during the probationary time. Okay, it says, for the times of the restitution, for the 144,000 being the first fruits, there must therefore be second fruits, for where there is first, there must be also second. And as the first fruits are the servants of the Elohim, they must subsequently be sent to all nations, together the second fruits, Isaiah 66:19-20, the great multitude of Revelation 7:9, which John saw after viewing the seating of the 144,000. For a detailed study of this subject, the 144,000, and the great multitude, see our chart number 1, pre-11th hour extra, The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1. The fact that in their mouth was found no gall, Revelation 14:5, plainly goes to show that they are to proclaim nothing but the pure gospel truth. Okay, and make their words as authoritative and as mandatory as the written words of the prophets and of the apostles. Indeed, these first fruits are invested with even greater power and authority. And that day shall the Yahshua defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as a David, and the house of David shall be as the Elohim, as the angel of the Yahweh before them. Zechariah 12:8. Also on that day further, it says Zechariah, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Zechariah 13:1. Now let's just slip over here to page 45, the Kingdom Illustrated. We have a picture of it here. Salvation of the Jews. Jews and Gentiles grafted in. Well, the promise of the kingdom is to the Jews only, but the privilege to be grafted in is unto all. So the Palestinians are saying that that's their land over there. No, it's not their land. They're causing a lot of trouble. It is their privilege to be grafted in if they meet the qualifications. Let us go forward now on page 45. It says, in this illustration there are three persons brought to view: Jesse, the father of David, the rod David, and the branch Yahshua. The relationship shows that David the rod is not Yahshua the branch, but the rod sprang from the stem of Jesse, and the branch from the rod. A fact which is borne out in the cry of the multitude when the Yahshua entered Jerusalem. They shouted, Hosea unto the son of David, or Hosanna. Matthew 21:15. Plainly, therefore, the rod coming from the stem of Jesse is symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod is symbolical of the son of David. So David was born in the Antitype in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. So this rod then is a symbol of that person and with his message. And the branch coming from the rod, okay, so and what was his message? It was the Isaac branch message that was given to Brother Johnson in 1970. But this time the Isaac branch message had grown up under David until by 2003. Okay, do you get the point? I said, upon this instant, branch and rod, the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest. For the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding in the fear of the Yahshua. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign. Isaiah 11:2-5. So, though the instant emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse the root, David the rod, and Yahshua the branch, okay, yet the power and wisdom of Yahshua is its underlying and controlling force. Wherefore says Yahshua, I am the root and the offspring of David. Okay, and the bright morning star, Revelation 22:16, bearing out that he is all and in all. Since therefore from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch, Yahshua, David the visible king, and Yahshua the invisible king of kings, shall in that day, in our time, constitute the ensign. Well, the people are going to be able to look from this banner that we're going to raise out here for this your house, Camp David, and it's going to be an ensign. It's going to be a line of the tribe of Judah, and it's going to be an ensign. It's going to be visible, but Yahshua, the one it represents, is going to be invisible, but you're going to have a visible king, Elijah David, and unto it shall the Gentiles seek in his rest, or his resting place, the location where the rod or ensign stands. The kingdom shall be glorious, Yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Isaiah 60, verse 13, saith the Yahshua. So he brought us here to Liberty Hill, Texas. He set up the everlasting kingdom of David with us, starting with his headquarters right here. So he said he's going to glorify the place where his feet is at. Okay, and so we represent his feet. So he said he's going to glorify, yea, I will make the place of my feet glorious. And I read to you a while ago about how those feet were the preachers. How shall they preach unless they be sent? How as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that are sent upon the mountains, publishing peace. And I will set up, let's continue, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Now the Yahshua will be their savior, and my servant David a prince among them. And Yahshua has spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beast that seeks out of the land. This is talking about the evil leaders, like the Goliaths, back in David's day, to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34:23-25. Thus his church or kingdom is again reflected without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Ephesians 5:27. A theocracy of peace, safety, and invincibility, under the rule of the one shepherd and a king, David, his servant. But the fact that many kings who reigned over Israel may be in the minds of some give rise unto the question, why David a type? Well, the reason why we had to have David a type is because he's going to be resurrected. And all those people that were saved that was in his kingdom back then are going to come seeking him. And they're going to seek the David that was with them that they knew in person. Well, in the last days, we have an antitypical David. And we have these antitypical people that are descendants of the house of David. And they're going to have somebody raised up in their midst that they're familiar with, that they know that he exists, literally exists. And that's going to be someone like Elijah David. That's going to be somebody they're already familiar with. And so when they are shown and pointed to this antitypical David, they're not going to have any trouble accepting it because they recognize him, they know him. But if you were to bring the typical David down here and plant him in the midst of the 144,000, they're not going to know him. They're not going to recognize him. Okay? But it's going to be somebody that they are familiar with. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive to hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Open up those pretty gates and let the saints go marching in.
There's a bright and glorious city on a far distant shore. There's a place where the saints fill love with the offer evermore. In the land of the living river, all faithful sin. Open up those pretty gates and let the saints go marching in. Open up those pearly gates and let the saints go marching in. Let them sing of all his praises and redeem them from their sin. In the blood of the Lamb we worship, hope is white as snow. Open up those pearly gates and let eternal ages flow. From the time of the beginning, righteous men never walked this earth. By the keeping of Yah's commandment, they experienced a new birth. They were believers in Yah's word, and were prophecy foretold. And by faith, they looked for the city with its streets of purest gold. Open up those pearly gates and let the saints go marching in. Let them sing him all his praises to redeem them from their sin. In the blood of the Lamb, the worship opens white as snow. Open up those pearly gates and let eternal ages flow.
and I shake my Savior's hand. I will meet my friends and loved ones who have made it to that land. Then the warfare will be over, Savior.